start. Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balabha Jai Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Balabha Jai Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Jai Braja Jana Ranjana. Jai Yasoda Nandana Jai Braja Jana Ranjana. Munatira Banachari Jai Kunja Bihari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Munachira Banachari Jai Kunja Bihari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Jai Kunja Bihari, Jai Radha Madhava Jai Kunja Bihari. Gopi Dana Balava Jai Girivara Dadi Jaya Girivara Dadi Gopi Jana Balaba Jai Girivara Dadi Jaya Girivara Dadi Gopi Jana Balaba Jai Girivara Dadi Jaya Girivara Dadi Yasoda Nandana Jai Raja Janaranjana Jai Yasoda Nandana Jai Raja Janaranjana Munatira Vanachari Jayo Kunja Bihari Jaya Kunja Bihari Munatira Vanachari Jai Kunja Bihari Jaya Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jai Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Jai Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hari Bhutakacharya, Vashpatara Satashi Shimad, Divine Grace is Gone Founder Charya Srila, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Dhyam Mishnupad Paramahansa, Hari Bhutakacharya, Vashpatara Satashi Shimad, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anantakodi Vaishnava Vrindaki, Nam Charya Srila Harirash Thakur Ki. From Sukho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasari Go Bhaktirindaki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Shamkun Radhakun Giri Govardhanaki, Sri Vrindavandamaki, Navadvip Mayapurdamaki, Ganga Yamunamayaki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulsi Maharaniki, ISKCON BBT Founder Charya, save the whole world, Srila Prabhupada Ki. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory is all glory to Shri Guru and Garanga. They like kirtan fast here. Very fast. It says, please finish class by 8:45 a.m., including questions and answers. Are there any questions? So reading from Lilamrita, not Bhagavatam? Leela Mrita. Okay. We're reading from Srila Prabhupada Leela Mrita, the chapter entitled Chant Hare Krishna and Fight. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. January 14th, Srila Prabhupada's third day in Allahabad was the first day of Kumbh Mela, bathing, and would be a special opportunity for book distribution. An ISKCON chanting party of about 50 men and several Indian Gurukul boys were very well received as they traveled through the Mela area. At 1:30 p.m., the time of auspicious bathing, the kirtan party made its way to the Triveni. As they approached, the police cleared a path for them all the way to the water. By evening, they had distributed 8,000 books, and for the first time since they had arrived, Prabhupada expressed his pleasure at their success. He ordered some of the sannyasis to stay at the mela until all the books were distributed. The next morning, despite ill health, Prabhupada took a walk. Surrounded by about 25 disciples, he walked slowly. Although he was a small figure surrounded by tall sannyasis, the Kumbh Mela pilgrims were able to easily recognize his preeminent position, and they would break through the ranks of devotees and offer dandavats before him. When Prabhupada saw people approaching, he would stop walking and let them touch his feet, despite the objections of his disciples. He was already sick, and he had explained in his books that a devotee can become ill if sinful people touch his feet. Still, he did not object. Srila Prabhupada was scheduled to stay at the mela through January 21st, but his disciples pressed him to go to a place more suitable for his health. Rarely had any of them seen him so sick, and they worried. "But my only ambition," said Prabhupada, "is that so many people can become enlightened." Word was beginning to circulate that Srila Prabhupada, the guru of the Hare Krishna movement, was staying in a camp at Gangadweep, and many more people were starting to come see him. He said that the people coming to the Kumbh Mela were expecting all the holy men and spiritual teachers of India to be there. So he felt obliged to stay until the 21st. Rameshwara Swami tried to advise Srila Prabhupada. "Srila Prabhupada," he said, "there's something much more important than your giving darshan to these people, and that is the writing of your books. Only a few thousand people are going to see you here, but if you go on writing, we will distribute your books by the millions. Then millions of people will have your darshan. There is no facility for writing here. The climate is too cold and your health is very weak. Let's go to Bhubaneswara where it's warm and they have healthy water." Srila Prabhupada had previously mentioned Bhubaneswara because of the water at Bindu Sarovara, which was supposed to have special medicinal properties. And he liked the argument that his writing was more important than his remaining in Allahabad to benefit a few thousand pilgrims. For the benefit of his personal staff, his secretary, servant, and cook, to see Prabhupada going through such austerities while suffering ill health was very painful. Finally, Prabhupada agreed to go. He called in Guru Das and Bhagavat and gave them a verbal chastising for the mismanaged pandal. Then on the afternoon of the 15th, he prepared to leave. Rameshwara Swami and Gurudas went to the train station to purchase tickets, but they found that no seats would be available for weeks. Seeking special consideration, they visited the local railway office, a lavishly appointed remodeled railway car. There they happened to meet their friend from Bombay, Mr. Gupta, and they told him of Prabhupada's illness and his desire to leave at once for Calcutta. Mr. Gupta phoned Bombay and arranged for a first-class coach to be added to a train coming from Bombay to Allahabad. The devotees profusely thanked Mr. Gupta, who began proposing that Srila Prabhupada travel through India in a royal car like the one they were in. The devotees discussed with him how they might buy or lease such a car, and it seemed an interesting possibility, but the immediate miracle had been arranged. A coach to take Prabhupada out of the crowded throngs of the Kumbh Mela to Calcutta. Omagyan timirandasya genangena shilakaya chuksuni militam jainatasmaya sigurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadantishva Badantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Vancha Kalpa Tudubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So we'll continue reading, but a few words would be appropriate at this time. This chapter of the epic Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, which for many devotees in ISKCON is their favorite book, because it describes the pastimes of our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, preaching all over the world. And somehow, whether it's mentioned or it's not mentioned, many of us were swept up in that ecstatic preaching of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, for many of us, this book is very dear. This chapter in particular is entitled Chant Hare Krishna and Fight. Interesting title. But as we're reading here, we're seeing that Srila Prabhupada doesn't have to fight very much in India. Something, of course, was there. But here, obviously, the movement has been established for some years. Prabhupada's intense endeavor, beautiful temples like Vrindavan, Mayapur, and our glorious temple here at Juhu Beach, it had all been established. It was history. And Prabhupada and his followers were, you could say, enjoying that wave of appreciation from the people of this glorious country. After all, this is Bharatvarsha. One name for India is Bharatvarsha. Varsha means like island, and Bharat, of course, we have our Bharat Maharaj and various great kings of the past. Some scholars are saying that Bharat comes from the famous king many millenniums ago. This is his place. He was the Raj, so Bharatvarsha. But another interpretation of Bharat, actually in Bharat, in Sanskrit, Bharat means light. This is the land of light. Not necessarily referring to your beautiful climate, a subtropical country which is often very sunny, but light in the sense of knowledge, illuminated with transcendental knowledge. We hear the term enlightenment. India is the land of enlightenment. There's no culture, there's no philosophy so deep, so profound as we find in here in India. The Vedas means knowledge. If you make a comparative study of all the great spiritual traditions of the world, with all due respect, you'll find them quite superficial compared to the culture and the knowledge which is there in our Vedic scriptures. So therefore, Bharatvarsha, the land of light. So we would expect where there is Krishna consciousness, people would appreciate. Even today, as Kali Yuga makes great strides forward in the land of Bharatvarsha, especially here in Mumbai, you see how Kali is advancing very quickly. I did a program last time I was here in Mumbai at one family's house. They were recently coming to Krishna consciousness. They were family, mother and father were interested. And then somewhere halfway through the class, there were a lot of young people sitting there. Actually, their children were there. They were about 13 or 14 years old. And I asked the boy, I said, "So, who is Yudhishthir?" He didn't have a clue. "Who's Bhim?" "Arjun." I didn't know who Arjun was. "Nakula, Sahadev." I even asked who was Kumbhakarna. He had no idea who Kumbhakarna was. This is the state of affairs. You just take one drop from the ocean, you can understand the whole ocean. So you take one family here in the greater Mumbai and they're completely ignorant of Vedic culture. Nevertheless, I heard Prabhupada personally say one time, in India, people are inherently Krishna conscious. He said, in India, you just scratch the skin, you scratch the surface, and the Krishna consciousness comes out. It doesn't take so much. I think it's going to become harder as the years go by, but it doesn't take so much. Because this is a land of piety. Even today, it's more pious than other countries of the world. So here we see in this part of this chapter the great respect that Śrīla Prabhupāda was receiving after some years of preaching here in India. So not so much fight. Of course, here we had a great fight in Bombay. Lest we forget, we should always remember the great battle that took place here even in Bharatvarsha for Śrīla Prabhupāda and some of his very dear disciples to establish this center. We should not forget. I'm always encouraging my dear godbrother, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, to write his memoirs, particularly about the establishment of this one temple. Because Maharaj was there from, you could say, almost the very beginning, 68. But he was here when Prabhupada gave his blood, sweat and tears to establish this temple, and the world should know the history. There's that famous saying, lest we forget. Now we're chanting and dancing and feasting and the beautiful opulent deity worship and so much preaching is going on, but it was all pioneer work in the old days. So we were driving in last night. First time I saw this second building you've established here. A drive right through there in a beautiful park, and I was thinking, oh, how pleased Śrīla Prabhupāda would be to see how this temple has progressed so nicely. But it would not be here had it not been for the great sacrifice of Prabhupada and his devotees at that time. In Russia, we spent a lot of time in Russia, preaching in Russia. They have an interesting tradition that just after their marriage ceremony, because there they have the Russian Orthodox Church, so the couple comes to the church and it's a big gala affair, marriage and this and that, and the priest anoints and the incense and the choir and this and that. But the very first thing that every couple in Russia does right after the ceremony is they go to that part of the town where there's a war memorial. In every town they have a memorial to the soldiers, in particular who gave their lives during World War II or World War I or other wars for the motherland. Of course, this is a material analogy, but there's something to be understood. And the first thing after the mirror is they go and they offer their prayers of gratitude to the soldiers who gave their lives so that they could live today and be married and be happy in life, quote unquote. So I was there and some devotees were seeing how sentimental. I said, no, there's something to be learned from that. We also have our great pioneers in Krishna consciousness who established this movement many years ago, 30 or 40 years ago. Most notably our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who single-handedly came to the Western countries and transplanted this culture in the West. Very unfavorable environment for preaching Krishna consciousness. One time Prabhupada said, I was on the boat on the Jaladut and I was thinking that when I came to America and I preached this message of Krishna consciousness, to begin with, you had to chant Hare Krishna and follow these four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex and gambling. They would say, Swamiji, take your message back to India. A miracle that he was able to transplant that culture there. And then here in Bombay to establish the temple. This is the pioneer work, so lest we not forget. But really the battlefront, if you want to speak in militaristic terms, because this Maharaj has entitled this chapter, Chant Hare Krishna and Fight. It is difficult to preach Krishna consciousness in the material world, especially where Kali has his bastions like Paris and London and New York, these places. No easy thing. One time we came back from Sankirtan in Paris, France. And that day we were fortunate, Prabhupada was visiting the temple. So he asked to see the Sankirtan party. So myself and one of my godbrothers, Lochanananda Prabhu, we were like the Sankirtan leaders. We would take the Harinam. In those days it was mostly Harinam before the book distribution. Some book distribution was going on. So Prabhupada called us into his room. It was on the first floor of the temple, four Rulasur. And Prabhupada said to me, so, how was the preaching today? How was the Harinam? I was a very neophyte devotee. I still am. So, rather than offer some praise to the Sankirtan, and I said to Prabhupada, oh, it was very difficult, Prabhupada. It was difficult that day. Yeah? Sometimes in the beginning years in France, they weren't so appreciative of the holy names. All we got was like some tomatoes thrown at us as reciprocation for chanting Hare Krishna. Some bad words. Sometimes they would even spit on us. So I said, Prabhupada, it was difficult. So Prabhupada, to train myself and others, he leaned over the desk. I was sitting a little closer than this boy. And Prabhupada looked me in the eye, he said, when did I ever say that preaching was easy? So I was supposed to answer. I was just shocked that Prabhupada had spoken so directly. I said, you never said. So he said, why was it difficult? So I'd already said it, I had to explain. So I said, well, Prabhupada, we were chanting at the Gallery Lafayette. It was one big department store, and there was a wide sidewalk as you would pass there. We couldn't generally stop very long because the police would chase us away. But there were so many people, it was difficult to get to us. So we'd chant, and we were chanting for 45 minutes. And I remember one lady came along, and she stood in front of the kirtan party, and she stuck her tongue out. A childish thing to do. Then she closed her eyes and she put her fingers in her ears. And she stood like that for a long time. Prabhupada was telling him the story. He was, no. He said, yes.
Oh.
He said, what did you do? What did I do? Prabhupada said, you should have walked up to her and pulled her fingers out of her ear and chanted very loud in her ear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Every preacher has similar experiences. We should never be discouraged. Rather, understanding the mentality of materialistic people, Mahaprabhu requested that we be tolerant. Trinadapi sanichana, torapi shahishnana, amanina, manina, kirtani adsadahari. You have to be very tolerant. You have to understand that deep within the heart, jivarasupoya krishnara nityadas. They're all eternal servants of Krishna, but due to their long association with the modes of material nature, they've been covered to various degrees by modes of nature. So some are in ignorance, some are in passion, a touch are in the mode of goodness. So preaching to such people, you're not going to elicit a very favorable reaction. Sometimes it may even become violent, but titikshava. Titikshava krunika shuridam sarvadehinam achata shatavashanta shadava shadabhushanaha. Because a devotee is in touch with transcendence, because he's in touch with the Lord, he becomes gradually purified of that mode of ignorance, that mode of passion, even that mundane mode. He comes to the mode of shuddha-sattva, pure goodness. The beauty of the soul shines forth, and sadhava-sudha-bhushanaha is decorated with all good qualities, beginning with tatikshiva. This is Bhagavatam. Tatikshiva means a devotee is very tolerant. Kurunika. He's very merciful. He has no enemies. He sees everyone as a candidate for Krishna consciousness. So even if a devotee receives a bad reaction, he understands, oh, this is not the real person. This is the person who's covered, like disease condition. You don't judge a man, you don't judge him in his disease condition. Oh, he's like this? He's lethargic? He's sleeping all the time? He's always perspiring and smelling bad and vomiting? No. This is his disease condition. Don't judge a man by his disease. Judge him by his healthy condition. So this is how a devotee is tolerant in his preaching efforts. Even if the person becomes violent, a devotee is understanding. At least an advanced devotee. Look at Haridas Thakur. For his crime of chanting Hare Krishna in public, what kind of crime? But in the minds of the materialistic demons, this was a crime. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. And usually you would only last 2 marketplaces. But he had siddhi. Pure devotee has mystic powers, which sometimes he manifests, generally not. So he survived. And the guards who were beating him, they were saying that, if you don't die, sir, then the king will have our... Oh, no, that should... I will die. So he feigned the death, and then, of course, they threw him. He was in samadhi, they threw him in the... But he didn't want to disturb his captors. This is very advanced. We cannot imitate. Or like Jesus Christ. They're crucifying him, and he looks to the heavens and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They knew very well what they were doing. They were beating this Vaishnava. But they didn't really know what they were doing because they're in disease condition of life, covered by mode of ignorance and passion. So to be a preacher, to stay out there, to tikshava, you have to be tolerant, but you have to be tolerant with knowledge. Jivarasupoya Krishna. This is my brother, but my brother in disease condition. It's like doctor has to be. Sometimes doctors, the patient's very frustrated, he's disturbed, he's screaming at the doctor. I remember one time I had to go in for operation. I had a big nodule, a growth on my vocal cords, because in the old days we didn't use sound systems on Harinam. We were young boys, so we would scream Hare Krishna at the top of our lungs for weeks and days and months and years. So eventually, one very big nodule. The doctor said, I've never seen one growth on anyone's vocal cords as big as this. So you need surgery. Oh, so don't want surgery. Scared of the scalpel. No, otherwise you won't be able to sing anymore. So okay, so we went in and they gave the anesthesia because it's a major operation. It takes 45 minutes to an hour. They had to cut with a surgical knife in a very delicate. If they cut just a little bit too much, they cut your cord, then you can't speak. I was very nervous. And I remember putting me under the anesthesia and you're out in 2 seconds. So doctor went in and with the knife he was cutting the nodule, and the anesthesiast had made a mistake. He didn't give me enough anesthesia. Yesterday also I had anesthesia. They were doing I won't go into the details, but they had to do some exploratory things inside. So they had to put me to sleep. But very expert at our Bhaktivedanta hospital. I just saw them getting out their machines and I went to sleep. When I woke up, they were putting them away. Very expert. But in this situation, in this hospital in 1974, I woke up in the middle of the operation. And you know, you're groggy or you don't know actually what's happening. You look, and I saw this man with a mask. Eyes like this. And he had a knife. I didn't remember I was having an operation. And this was the doctor. And you know, you put a mask on anybody, even if you smile, you look ferocious. He was as amazed as I was that I woke up. And plus he had his hand down my throat. Naturally, I'm thinking, this man is trying to kill me. I punched him. My boxing teacher always told me I had a very good right hook in high school on the boxing team. And I gave the full thrust. Boom! All I remember is this nose just exploded in blood. And I remember the eyes going place in there. And the anesthesiist, you know, it took me 3 hours to come out. It was only a 45, but they were so, she over here. So I woke up hours later. And just at that time, doctor was coming in to see how I was doing with the nurses. And the nurses looked at me. They were so angry at me. I couldn't remember what happened. You punched the doctor. I did? You really punched the doctor. And doctor's nose was all swollen. I think I may have cracked the cartilage. And he had one tape here. And there was dried blood. And the nurses were very angry. And I said, I could just barely speak because of the, oh, doctor, I'm very sorry. Don't speak, he said. He said, no, no, he said, no problem, he said to the nurses. He said, don't speak like this to the boy. He was under the influence of the intoxication, he said. He called it an intoxication. So he didn't know what he was doing. So don't become angry. So I was sitting there and I was thinking, oh, thank you, doctor. But as I had to stay there a few days, I was thinking, so yes, this is how we should be on Sankirtan when sometimes we're insulted. Or sometimes there may be even some violence. Titikshava kurnika shuridam sarvadehinam achatashatavashunta shadava shudubhushana. This is a divine quality to be tolerant in the face of adversary. not out of sentiment, but understanding the position of the conditioned souls in this world. After all, this is a place of forgetfulness. People come here for the purpose of forgetting God. Bahirmukha. In the Prema Vivarta, Jagananda Pandit describes this phenomenon. Actually, Prema Vivarta is a very deep, you could say, rasic scripture. But in beginning, establishing the tattva, the truths, Jagananda Pandit describes how the living entity falls from grace. Bahirmukha. Mukha means face. Bahir means to turn the face. One turns his face from God. Like if you're speaking with someone and then they're giving you an instruction, like my mother used to say whenever she was instructing me, "I'm speaking to you, young man, look at me." You know. The boy doesn't want to hear. This is called Bahirmukha. So Jagananda Pandit uses this analogy. It's just to give us an understanding. Like in Christianity, they have what they use it, the analogy of forbidden fruit. It's another way of explaining that this is forbidden, but the living entity desires to enjoy separately from God. So Adam and Eve, they ate the forbidden fruit, and then they were exiled from the kingdom of God. Same similar mentality. We have our free choice. This is a basic philosophy. So then where do we go? Mumbai. Well, this is India. But India is also material world. It's like being first class prisoner. Of course, you can also be third class, depending what part of town you're living in. But even Brahma. Of course, our Brahma, he is Adi Guru. He is the original Guru in our Sampradaya. Brahma, Gaudiya, Vaishnav, Sampradaya. But Brahma is not always devotee. Our Brahma is a devotee, but Brahma is not always devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prays, let me take birth as an insect. If I have to take birth again, let it be as an insect in the house of your devotee, rather than be a non-devotee Brahma. Brahma is a very exalted. He's the most pious person in the universe. The most pious person in the universe, he takes birth as next creation as Brahma. But Bhaktivinoda, I would rather be an insect in the house of a Vaishnava than non-devotee Brahma, because you can be pious and not be a devotee. There's many Mayavadis, they're very pious. You could even say transcendent. But against the principle of devotion to God. So we would rather be an insect. Some prasad is falling off the table and we get the prasad of a Vaishnava. Look what happened to Narada Muni. He was the son of a maid servant, which means a simple woman, cleaning woman. He was born into a Sudra family. As a boy in that Leela, he had no intelligence to understand Krishna consciousness. But he said he got the prasad of the Swami, and he said, as soon as I took that prasad, the very nature of the transcendence became attractive to me. And just like all of us, or many of us, we were just boys and girls going on in our way of life. We got some prasad, we heard the holy name, we heard some philosophy, and something awoke in our heart. So we'd rather be somehow in the Sangha of Vaishnavas than to have some opulent position in Svargalok. But my point is, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punar Arvito Arjuna Mamupetiti Kuntiya Punar Janmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. Punar Janmana Vidyate, one who attains to my abode never takes birth again. But the point is, from Brahmaloka down to Pataloka, that insect, what is he called? Indra Gopa? The small scientists have not yet discovered him. very small insect, like maybe amoeba or even less, it is all forgetfulness. So to preach here is never an easy thing. Everyone is bahirmukha. They've come here to forget God to a greater or lesser degree. Greater degree, the lower planetaries. Lesser degree, Svargaloka. Everyone is forgetful. They don't want to be reminded. Jivir Supoya Krishna, you are all servants of God. This is the last thing they want to hear. Don't disturb me. They still want to enjoy, so it's going to be difficult. But because it's service to Guru and Gauranga, we find great pleasure in it. Like Prabhupada wrote, my godbrother Prabhavishnuswami. Prabhavishnuswami was taking out the traveling Sankirtan party and throughout England, and he wrote Prabhupada the difficulties they're undergoing while distributing the books, but how much they enjoyed the service. And Prabhupada wrote back, it's a famous letter. Actually, I carry this letter with me. Prabhupada wrote, I can understand how sometimes it is very difficult, the bad weather, the snow, the rain, the driving wind, he said. Sometimes you're sleeping in unclean places, not getting enough food, not getting enough rest. But because it's Sri Krishna Sankirtan, because it's the Gaura Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord, you are enjoying it just like the child is enjoying austerities in the Gurukul. They don't mind sleeping on the floor, taking the khichdi, walking bare feet to the temple, chanting the mantras. That is, they enjoy. So because it is Sri Krishna Sankirtan, Prabhupada said, you are getting great pleasure from it. Mamchayo vibhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuya kalpate. That one who engages in the process of devotional service fully, who does not deviate under any circumstances, he at once transcends the modes of nature. Ignorance, passion, and even goodness. He comes to Shuddhi. He comes to the Brahman platform, or the platform of spirituality. As Jesus said, to be in this world but not of this world, this is the art. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. Any one or combination of those activities of devotional service, if you're fully dedicated to them, you're like the lotus flower in the lake. The lotus flower is technically stuck in the mud. Stuck in the mud. Like my son said, he was a free spirit, then he got married and he had to work. And he said, Pita, stuck in the mud at 32 years of age. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one day I woke up and saw my house transformed into Vaikuntha. He was a married man with serious responsibilities in this world, 12 children, but very Krishna conscious wife, nice children, and all devotional service going on. Now I see my house like Vaikuntha, he said, not like Grihamedi, like Grihastha. So this is especially true of those who preach, whether they be Tyagis, Givavipa Gibaniyasi Sudukarena Naya, whether one is a Tyagi living in the forest, or whether it's a householder with family. Narottam says if that person has dedicated his life to serving the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, whether he's a Grihastha, whether he's Brahmachari, Vanaprasanya, I take the dust of that person's feet on my head. Oh. But that Sangha is rare. Chanaka Panda says, you don't find a pearl on the head of every elephant. You don't find jewels, rubies in every mountain. You don't find sandalwood in every forest. You don't find the association of Vaishnavas in every birth. So if you find that pearl on the head of the elephant, guaranteed by getting that pearl, you'll be a Kurapati. It's some mystic powers. There are those pearls. I've seen one in South India in one temple, in Tirupati, I was shown the pearl that was produced from the head of an elephant, not from the oyster. From the head of the elephant, some old elephants, after 100 years, they produce one from the Brahmaranda, one pearl is coming. You have that pearl, you never have to worry about money for the rest of your life. Who has that? Who has a pearl like that? How many mountains you can go and you can get the rubies? Some places you can find. The sandalwood forests, even Malaysia, they're no longer existing. They're planting the rubber trees. More money coming. And the Vaishnav Sangha? Generally, it's a very rare occurrence. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastu Koi Lava Matta Sadhu Sangha. Very rare. Only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya is that they're in abundance. Now there's Vaishnavas all over the world chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. You get that? That's more valuable than the pearl in the head of the elephant. More valuable than the rubies, more valuable than the sandalwood. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavicham va jagadishakame mama janmani janmani sud bhavatad bhakti. These things we don't want. We only want the sangha of the Vaishnavas because in their association they're always chanting Hare Krishna. And that type of kirtan is the best kirtan. Jiva Goswami says in his Bhakti Sandarbha that when the Vaishnavas come together and chant Hare Krishna, even a neophyte devotee can experience deep spiritual emotion, which is generally reserved for the bhava bhaktas or the prem bhaktis. It's something rare to get those emotions. But in the association of Vaishnavas, Jiva Goswami says, even a neophyte can get some deep spiritual emotion, which is an impetus to keep going in Krishna consciousness, but not alone, but in the association of the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, everything else is tinged. And you go out and you try to preach, and I don't want to hear this, they're saying. No. Not easy thing. But we're getting pleasure because it's the order of the Guru. But don't expect it's going to be easy. And therefore it's amazing that God comes here Himself. Chanakapanda says, don't go to a place where there's not a clean flowing river, a good doctor, a pious king, where people like you. He says, don't go to a place where people are inimical towards you. This is common sense when you're traveling. You're planning a vacation. Don't go to a place where there's bad water. Sometimes we drink the bad water, we get the dysentery. Don't go to a place where there's not a good doctor. I was sick and I postponed my visit to any medical facility until I came to Bombay, Bhaktivedanta Hospital. I took some risk. I was diseased. I thought, no, I'll wait till I... 4 months I waited. And then I came here. I wouldn't dare go anywhere else if something serious is there. Because in Russia, when I go to Russia, sometimes I'm praying. So many prayers. You don't want to get sick in Russia. You don't know what they're going to inject you with. One of my very dear disciples, Kunja Kishori, she was a college student, and she came down with the flu. Brilliant girl. Very artistic, and she could paint, and she could do, sing, and do so many nice things. She wasn't a devotee yet. She went to the hospital, and the doctor gave her injection for the flu, and 3 hours later, she went blind. She never got her vision back. Completely blind girl. Of course, then her spiritual life began, because she was a very beautiful girl, very talented, had no interest in spiritual life. When she lost her sight and she started searching for God, She told me, I could no longer enjoy this world, so I want to see the spiritual world, she said. She came to one program. She was sitting in the front row. And she was sitting the whole time like this. I was thinking, I didn't know she was blind. This young girl is very interested in Krishna consciousness. Everyone was just moving around, you know, the college students and this. But this girl's very serious. She's not blinking. She's just looking straight at me the whole time. So the tradition is in Russia, after you give a lecture, then the people come forward and you give them some prasad. Every lecture. And you give them prasad. 300-400, sometimes 1,000 devotees. And you spend more time giving the prasad than you were speaking. And she walked up the steps and she put out her hand and I could see she was searching for... I said, is there some problem? She said, Guru Maharaj, I'm blind. I can't see. Please teach me to see God. First thing she ever said to me. Please teach me to see God. I don't have the eyes to see. I don't have the eyes to see this world, so finish this world. But at least give me some eyes to see God. But we don't see God with these eyes, you could understand. Give me the vision to see God. Anyway, some relationship developed and she took initiation. Now she goes on with her husband, she goes Parikrama all over India, blind, she can't see a thing. She says, no, I'm seeing Vrindavan through the speaking of the sadhus. I'm not missing anything. I've not missed anything, she said. I'm seeing as people, this is the real seeing, she says. Not these eyes, but the real seeing I'm seeing through the speaking of the sadhus. This is Russia. One of my disciples, I named her, she's 92 years old, but I named her Kishori, Kishori Dasi. The name of Radharani, meaning Radha when she's very young and beautiful. She said, you've given me a name of beautiful, I'm old and ugly. I said, only your body is old and ugly. Your soul's na yovanam cha, eternally youthful. So you, oh, thank you, Guruji. She won't die. She's going, now she's like 98, 64 rounds a day. She just sits in her little apartment, just chants all day, and then hears some tapes. She's a very nice devotee. One day I was speaking about the austerities here in Russia and how I'm afraid to go to the doctor. She started laughing and laughing, and she lifted up her choli. She's 98. And in her stomach she had this scar from this side of her to the other side. Oh my God, you were wounded in the war? Because she fought in the war. Stalin made the ladies fight, so she was fighting. And in combat, she was injured elsewhere. No, she said, no, this was some surgical operation. I had some tumor in my intestines. And they operated. I said, but they must have given you a lot of anesthesia. She said, oh no. In the communist times, we were so poor, we didn't have any anesthesia. What? Huh. What did they do? No, they cut me open. I said, what did you do? She said, Gurudev, I was screaming bloody murder. And then they gave me some whiskey. I drank half a bottle and went to sleep. These people are very appreciative when they come in contact with Krishna consciousness. One who's been poverty-stricken, when he becomes wealthy, he very misappreciates his changed position. So we're also coming from a very difficult background. We should also be very appreciative that Prabhupada has saved us from material existence, which is all suffering. So don't go to a place where there's not good water, where there's not a good doctor, pious king, or where people are inimical towards you. But still, God is coming here. Who are they inimical to? Mainly they're inimical towards God. He's coming. And what is he doing? What is God doing when he comes here? Paritvanaya sadhanam vinashaya duskritam. He's preaching. So as difficult as it may be sometimes for us, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. What is Mahaprabhu doing? What is his enjoyment? Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. Glo nasteva, 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 gatir anyatad. What is his pleasure? He's a kilam rasarita murti. God is the enjoyer of all transcendental mellows with his devotees. What is he doing when he comes here? With his devotees, Krishna varnam tusha krishnam shangopangasya parshadam yagnai sankatanpaya yujantihi shu medashaha. What is he doing? He's getting up and he's gathering his devotees and he's going to the villages. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So yes, it is a miserable place. Abhrama Bhuvana Dukalayam Ashashvatam. It's a horrible place, Prabhupada told Bhavananda. I did not want to come to this nasty place. They were in the quarantine here in Bombay Airport because Bhavananda had forgotten Prabhupada's yellow fever certificate, immunization card. He left it in Nairobi. So then they put Prabhupada in quarantine in Bombay for 11 days. And Prabhupada's there in the quarantine. I did not want to come to this nasty place. And Bhavananda started crying, I'm so sorry, I forgot. Prabhupada said, no, not here. This whole material world. But Krishna asked me, you come here and I will arrange everything else. You go down, he said, and write books and I will arrange. So it is a nasty place. We should never be under any illusion. Dukalayamasha, but we don't become depressed. Jean-Paul Sartre was a French philosopher. He also, there are some people who are partially self-realized, like Socrates probably. He's partially self-realized. He knew he was the soul, not the body. He didn't know the Supreme Soul, but he was partially. So Jean-Paul Sartre, he could also analyze, as we do in a lot of our lectures, what is preaching? Preaching means analyzing the material world and giving the opportunity of the spiritual. That's all we... Any lecture is basically lamb-blasting the material energy and giving the alternative. You can do it in so many ways, so many stories, so many verses. Basically, that's what preaching is. Convincing people, they're thinking that the material world is real and the spiritual world is some phantasmagoria, some illusion. The preacher's duty is to teach them that the material world is illusion and the spiritual world is reality. But to do that, you have to chant Hare Krishna and fight. That's the title of the chapter. You have to fight a little bit to do it. But Jean-Paul Sartre, he said, oh yes, it is all, he was a very expert. If you read his book, it's almost like reading Prabhupada's purports. But, he didn't give any alternative. He didn't have a guru. He didn't take shelter of an enlightened soul. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Who would say, beyond this temporary world, which is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. There's another world, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He wasn't connected with Guru Parampara. He wasn't connected with God. He only saw half the picture. So he became depressed. And the only alternative to his philosophy was, he took his life. If only he had have met the kirtan party. Adi Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya. What? What is this? Are you coming here? So we should never forget that it is Dukalayama Shashvatam, but we have the remedy. We have the panacea. Panacea is a very powerful word. It's a very powerful word, panacea. Panacea means the solution to all the problems. Is there a solution to all the problems? There's so many problems, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Kilair dosha nidhe rajan asti eku mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha. Same Another angle, just the same thing. Shukdev Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, this Kali Yuga is an ocean of inauspiciousness. You have an ocean here. Go out in the ocean. Drop yourself 10 miles out in the ocean and see what happens. Most Indian people are not swimmers. They go and they put their ankles in the water. And they, oh, I went swimming today. Swimming? Oh, yes, up to here. But even if you're the best swimmer, if you're 10 miles out, you're a goner. So everyone's a goner in the material world. No one can survive. So ocean of inauspiciousness. Kirtanareva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha. But there's one good thing left. With this Krishna Kirtan, you can deliver yourself from this material existence. So we're very fortunate. We have the panacea for all the problems. How is it solving all? Because once you're back to Godhead, there's no more problems. You may not solve them individually, but by going back to Godhead, punarjanma navidyate, you don't come back, and there's no more problems. So we have the panacea. So the greatest pleasure is to share that solution with the people who are suffering. Just like Jiva Goswami also gives the concept of perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Perfect is Dwarka. More perfect is the mood of Mathura, because there's Aishwarya Bhav in Dwarka. It's mainly Aishwarya Bhav. And therefore, Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to see the mood of the gopis. The topmost excellent love of the gopis. Pure, intimate love. So Dwarka is perfect. And Mathura is, there's some intimacy there. But Vrindavan is most perfect. So perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Very nice analogy. Perfect. So you can use the same analogy. Chanting Hare Krishna is perfect. We have our mala. Prabhupada says for the aspiring devotee setting a foundation in Krishna consciousness. For every disciple, Prabhupada said, the most important instruction is chant 16 rounds a day. Never to be given up at any stage. Even Prabhupada was chanting, for us as an example, the 16 rounds or more every day. That's the foundation. This is a very beautiful building. If there was no foundation, it'd crumble in 1 minute. So first things first. Don't put the cart before the horse. Put the horse before the cart. 16 good attentive rounds every day to the day we die. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare. More perfect. Krishna Varnan Tusha Krishnam Sangupangasha Parshadam Yagnai Sankitan Prayar Yajanti Hushume. How will you know the incarnation? He's the same as he was in the Puri Yuga, but he's not blue, he's golden. And he's surrounded by his associates who are always chanting the holy names. So, Goshtananandi, not the Bhajananandi, just chanting, but coming together and chanting. What could be more perfect? More perfect? More perfect? What is most perfect? Most perfect is when you take that name and you go downtown Bombay, you chant very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Because Srinam, Prabhu, the holy name is Krishna himself, Namachintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya, Rasa, Vigraha. No difference between the name, the fame, the form, the paraphernalia of the Lord. Srinam Prabhu, Krishna himself, is very pleased when you're decorating your tongue with his name, when you're chanting with the Vaishnava, when you take his name and go to the public, which is the Yuga Dharma, then so much mercy is coming. It's all mercy, ultimately. What qualifications do we have? We don't have any qualifications, even now. It is all mercy. And if you give your life to spreading that holy name, Kripa will come. So we don't mind living in Now this is almost like downtown, because previously this was some jungle area. Now Mumbai has grown so big, this is almost like downtown. You walk out, it's like, no, we feel very happy here, living downtown Bombay. Like Prahlad said, we don't want to go for some peace and solitude to the Himalayas. And what about all those poor suffering people, Prahlad was saying. I am concerned about them. We're happiest when we're on the street, actually. That is like our temple. We're happy in the temple. We could not live without the temple. This is where we get our source of inspiration. But our heart is really with the people. Our sadness is to see them bereft of Krishna consciousness, and the joy out of the process, our real joy, is when we go out and through our Bhakti Viksha programs, through our festivals, through our university preaching, through our chanting. This is where our real happiness is actually lying. This is where we get the real taste. And if you get that taste, you'll never leave. Param drishtanti vartante. If you're getting the higher taste, you'll never go for the lower taste. So chant Hare Krishna and fight. Oh, I'm not a fighter. I don't want to go out. No. It's like Arjuna when he was fighting on the battle. Kurukshetra, Prabhupada writes in one purport, he felt the arrows going into his body like flower petals bouncing off, just like you take the flower petals and if they bounce off Prabhu, oh, you preach, then there's no austerity involved, because it's pleasing Guru and it's pleasing Krishna. And if Guru is pleased and Krishna is pleased, automatically you'll be happy. And what does Guru do? Prabhupada was preaching to the end. What did Lord Chaitanya do when he was here? He was preaching. So if it's good enough for them, that preaching is also good enough for us. Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande. So I have some appointments, so I won't be able to take any questions. We have spoken. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Swami Maharaj ki.
That's what actually happened.